the light of Jesus Christ to a world darkened with sin. This is the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an outreach ministry of the Progressive Primitive Baptists. Our purpose at the Lighthouse is to present you the truth of God's Word and its relevancy for your daily living. We want to help equip you to light your world with the truth of Jesus Christ, that Jesus is both Lord and Savior. Hello, my name is Scott Reiner, and I invite you to join us now as we study God's Word together. Welcome, and thank you for joining us today at the Lighthouse. I'm your host and radio Bible teacher, Scott Reiner. One of the great qualities of Christian character that seems to be in such short supply today is patience. From the more common understanding of simply having to wait, to the more biblical idea of progressing or persisting through some trial or hardship without responding unbiblically, so that we can experience the spiritually maturing qualities that trials and sufferings are designed to have. But often we just simply fail when it comes to patience. When facing difficult times, we either throw up our hands in defeat, we lash out with bitter anger, and often towards those that we claim to love the most, or we try to take matters into our own hands, doing things our way instead of God's way. But the bottom line is that we wind up having more problems than before. Now, patience is a necessary quality because when learned and developed or matured, and by the way, this is a lifelong process, but patience allows us to do several things. For example, it enables us to become more like Jesus Christ. It gives credibility to our profession of faith. It may even open up opportunities to witness about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. It helps to encourage other believers, and it also enables us to grow in our relationship with the Lord, as well as our understanding of the Lord. And there are so many other ways that patience helps us. But the opposite is also true when we fail to exercise patience. Life is hard, and living the Christian life is even harder. So if you want to learn more about developing patience in your life, then we invite you to join with us as we study from James chapter 5, verses 7 through 9. This section of James's letter marks a significant point of transition as he begins to bring this letter to a close. Up to this point in chapter 5, James has focused quite heavily on the coming wrath and judgment of Jesus Christ, specifically directed here to wealthy landowners who were oppressing as well as exploiting the poor and the helpless. Now, in this closing section, the coming of Christ in judgment is still very much a prominent theme. However, now the primary focus is upon believers and their relationship to this coming of Christ in judgment. So as a result, this section is actually designed to be a source of great encouragement to believers in their daily life, especially when you consider the context. You see, it is quite apparent that many of these early believers were suffering severe hardships at the hands of these wealthy landowners, or at least in situations very similar. And so they needed a word of inspiration, a word of hope and encouragement to help affirm them and their continuance in living faithfully for Jesus Christ, regardless of their external circumstances. And this encouragement seems to have revolved around two central thoughts. First of all, there is the coming of Jesus Christ, and then secondly, there is patience. In fact, patience is actually the predominant theme in this section. In verses 7 through 11, the term patient and its related terms or ideas are mentioned seven times. Now, with this kind of emphasis, it seems rather obvious that James was absolutely convinced that patience is a necessary quality or characteristic to possess, and more so to develop when facing times of great trials and suffering. In fact, today, our primary focus is going to be on learning how to develop this patience in our lives. So with those thoughts in mind, read with me from James chapter 5, verses 7 through 9. In verse 7, James writes, "Therefore be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door." Now, before we began to look at the various ways in developing this needed patience for our lives, I want us to spend just a few moments examining exactly what James has in mind here. The term patience comes from the Greek word makrothumeo, which is made up of two words, makros, which means long, and it's used in reference to place, distance, and even time. Now here the emphasis is on time, as in a very long time. The second term is thumos, which comes from a root term meaning to rush or to breathe hard. How many of you have ever been in a situation where you suddenly had to rush, and after a few moments you found yourself breathing rather hard? Well, this term is used to describe the heavy or the hard, passionate breathing that is related to growing anger or frustration. Now, most of you probably already know this, but you can often identify the emotional state of someone simply by the way that they breathe. Deep, heavy breaths are often signs of growing aggravation and indignation. Last week, one of the students that I had in ISS, which is in-school suspension, I had to remind her several times to keep on task. And whenever I mentioned her name and told her that she needed to get busy, she began to breathe like this. And immediately I could tell that there was a sense of growing frustration and aggravation. So in essence, patience is taking a long time before reaching a point of anger and frustration. Sometimes in the Word of God, it's called long-suffering, describing one who suffers a long time with something or bears a long time with something before they finally have had enough and erupt. Now, the opposite of this is short-temperedness, or someone who is short-tempered, someone who has a very short fuse. In other words, it doesn't take a lot to set them off, and therefore they have a tendency to respond very hastily and without proper understanding of those who are involved and the situation that's at hand. And quite often their sinful responses cause even more problems. Well, taking this basic meaning of patience and applying it to this context, one writer says, patience here is not simply waiting for something, but having the willingness to endure that which is difficult to bear. Patience is the self-restraint which does not too hastily seek vengeance for a wrong. Another writer says, combining the ideas of patience and submissiveness, the word suggests the self-restraint that enables one to bear insult and injury without resorting to hasty retaliation. And finally, one writer describes it as enduring patiently as opposed to despondency. In other words, some of our circumstances in life may become so harsh that we become despondent. That is, we experience a sense of loss, a loss of heart, a loss of courage, and a loss of hope. We become discouraged and dejected. We feel like giving up, that we have nothing to live for. And so we wind up becoming very bitter, and we begin to respond out of a sense of fear and frustration instead of faith and obedience to God's Word. So patience is that quality that helps us to patiently persist, to keep on task, to keep on our path through whatever we have to face or deal with in such a way that we don't lose, first of all, our self-control, we don't lose, secondly, our perspective, and thirdly, we don't lose our hope. either by retaliation, by taking vengeance on those who are involved, or by taking matters into our own hands, and therefore doing things our way instead of God's way. Because ungodly responses always makes things worse. Now, one other thing needs to be said here, and that is, I personally don't think that James is insisting on a completely passive approach here. That is, that we just sit back and do nothing. That we make no attempt to seek change when it comes to evil and injustice, even when it includes us. Some of the most significant movements regarding social change has had its origins in Christianity. Now, believers are going to face hardships and injustice in life, in one way or another. But the point here, according to one resource, is that James is urging believers to maintain an attitude of patience while suffering injustices, even though every legitimate and biblical effort should be made to improve conditions and achieve justice. Believers must keep a spirit of patient endurance, even in the midst of cruel treatment. We should not retaliate or despise those who are oppressive to us. Now again, this does not mean that we don't seek change regarding our conditions, but it means that our approach is not an eye for an eye or a tooth for a tooth. Rather, it is to be based upon clear biblical teachings. For example, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 21, the Apostle Paul teaches us that we are to overcome evil with good. We are not to be overcome by evil. And in Luke chapter 6, verses 27 and 28, Jesus teaches us that we are to love our enemies, that we are to do good to those who hate us. We are to bless those who curse us, and we are to pray for those who spitefully use us. Now, I want to close this opening section with one last idea. It's been suggested that Christians must learn to expect inflicted sufferings from a hostile world. This is definitely not something that should surprise us, and that these sufferings should be borne valiantly and without complaint. Or in the words of one commentator, and I really like this, he says, we are to endure affliction and make no fuss about it. We are to be martyrs without insisting on being recognized as one. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, that hits close to home. Well, this brings us to our first point. Developing patience requires an understanding of context. And by context, we're simply talking about where this development of patience takes place. And there are four things that we're going to note in this study. First of all, there is an understanding of the general context. Secondly, there is an understanding of the more immediate context. Thirdly, there needs to be an understanding of the perception that is involved when it comes to the context. And finally, there needs to be an understanding of those individuals who are involved in the context. So first of all, we're going to take a look at an understanding of the general context. Notice the first part of verse 7. By inspiration, James writes, therefore, be patient. The phrase be patient is a command, and James is insisting that this be begun immediately, now. But this patience that he is calling for in a believer's life takes place within a certain context, and its context is hardships, that is, trials and sufferings. Now, patience is not only exercised in times of suffering. I mean, after all, how often do we really need patience when everything is going our way? But patience is also developed in times of suffering. Now, we may learn about patience intellectually through the study of God's Word, by the way, which is absolutely essential. But it's through what we might call experiential learning, that is, responding obediently to God's Word in the midst of our experiences, sufferings or otherwise, when our learning is truly developed. Our case in point here, where patience is developed. It's not when we simply know something about patience, but rather when we practice patience in our life, when we face times of great difficulty. In fact, this is exactly how James began this letter. In chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, James writes, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." Now, I want you to understand that patience is never truly learned. It is never truly developed in isolation from the experiences of hardships, from times of great adversity, times of great difficulty and challenge. So at this point, we need to understand something of the general context in which patience must be understood, and that's in times of suffering. Now we come to the point of understanding something of the more immediate context. The term therefore in this passage gives us an idea of the immediate context for the need of patience for these early believers. Remember, the word therefore takes into account what has just preceded, and that involves the coming judgment of God against the sins of these wealthy landowners as it relates to the abuses of their wealth and their oppression and exploitation of the poor and helpless. So in light of all of this, in light of the excessive hoarding of the wealthy's possessions, in light of the unlawful means they used in retaining their wealth, which was by fraud, you may remember that they would hire workers to work in their fields all day long with the promise that they would get paid at the end of the day. But the problem was, at the end of the day, when it came time for them to receive their wages, these wealthy individuals refused to pay them, and these workers had to go home empty-handed to their families, and they would all go to bed hungry that evening. So in light of the lavish excesses in the pleasures of their wealth, that is, their extreme self-indulgent and wasteful lifestyle, and in light of the violent and injustices that were leveled against those whom they exploited, in light of all of this, James writes to encourage believers to be patient, even in the midst of such difficult and cruel circumstances. Believers in Jesus Christ are called upon to faithfully live out the gospel they claim to believe in, even in the presence of their oppressors. Even in the midst of such incredible selfishness, their life must conform to their profession of faith in Jesus Christ. They must not give a mixed or false testimony. They must live Jesus Christ. And more to the point, we must live Jesus Christ. Now, in all honesty, I think personally, I would find it very difficult to live, at least in general, under such conditions, much less trying to live for Jesus Christ. I mean, think about it. We whine and complain about the circumstances that we have to face in our attempts to live the Christian life, but these often fail miserably in comparison to what many of our first generation Christians had to endure, which only serves to demonstrate the fact that patience is not a humanly produced quality. Rather, it is a gift of God's grace. In fact, it's described as a part of the fruit of the Spirit. But yet, it is a gift which must be cultivated as well as utilized by the believer. And this is in connection to the ministry of the Word and the Holy Spirit. So here, we need to understand something of the immediate context. Now, this brings us to our third part. And that is, we need an understanding of the perspective that is involved in the context in developing patience. And by perspective, we simply mean how we see things, how we relate things together. Now, this call to be patient does not only take into account the difficult and sometimes harsh circumstances in which we are called to live as Christians, but this patience also involves perspective. At the beginning of our study in this fifth chapter, I made the observation that one of the reasons this section was included, that is, verses 1 through 6, was to warn believers of the potential dangers associated with wealth, especially the desire for wealth, the love for wealth, as well as the determination to have what these landowners had and to become like them. You see, this warning to believers stands under the overarching assurance that is given to believers that God will righteously judge these evil oppressors. There is the promise that they will be brought to justice. As one writer implies, God will make it right, if not in this life, certainly in the life to come. So in light of the certainty of this coming judgment, believers can patiently persevere through their hardships in faithful obedience, without taking matters into our own hands, without sinful retaliation or retribution, without losing hope and perspective, because believers are absolutely convinced that vengeance belongs to the Lord and that He will bring all evildoers to eternal justice. So understand, judgment is coming. So you can be encouraged that regardless of what you have to face in life, you can do so patiently. You can do so in faith and obedience to the teachings of Christ, because God has promised that He will avenge His people. So a part of developing patience in our lives involves an understanding of the perspective included in the context. And this brings us to our fourth and final part. Developing patience requires an understanding of the individuals involved in the context. Once again, look at verse 1. James writes, "Therefore be patient, brethren." The term brethren comes from the Greek word adelphos, and the general idea is that of being from the same womb. Now, more specifically, it refers to a relationship based on a common origin. Now, clearly, this is a reference to believers, because as believers, we all have a common origin, and we have a common fellowship based as a result of our salvation in Jesus Christ. So, by necessity, our lives are bound together, and especially within local fellowships that we often call the church. Now, in general, our sufferings are born both in the presence of an unbelieving world. Whenever we suffer, rest assured, believers are waiting to see how you and I respond. But our sufferings are also born in the presence of a believing community, that is, our fellow believers. Now, James's primary concern is how we bear our sufferings and afflictions within our relationships with other believers. And when you look at it this way, it becomes much clearer as to why patience is desperately needed. Because whenever we face times of great adversity, times of great hardship, we have a natural tendency to lash out at those whom we love the most. Now, I know that sometimes this doesn't make sense, but the fact is, this is often very true. And there are features in this section which substantiate this, and which we will look at later on. But at this point, just simply note that when we face hardships, it's not in isolation from people, whether they be believers or unbelievers. And we need to be especially careful in how we bear our sufferings in our relationship with those of the household of faith, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. If we exercise great patience, a great deal of good can be achieved within the community of believers and within our own lives. But if we do not exercise great patience, a great deal of damage can take place within the community of believers because of our unbiblical and ungodly responses. So don't take out your anger and your frustration out on those who love you the most, who care about you the most, and who want to help you the most. So developing patience requires an understanding of the context in which this development takes place. And once again, it requires an understanding of the general context, which is hardships. Developing patience must take place within the context of suffering. Secondly, it requires an understanding of the more particular context. Now here, for these early believers, it dealt with the sins of the wealthy. For us, it may be many different things, because there are numerous ways in which we suffer. But the bottom line is that the development of our patience takes place within specific incidents. Thirdly, developing patience requires an understanding of the perspective of the context. And for us as believers, that's an absolute assurance that evildoers will be judged. We have to learn to look beyond what we see with our eyes to the reality of the coming justice of God. And finally, developing patience requires an understanding of the individuals involved in the context. Our suffering always, or at least practically always, takes place within the framework of other people. Now again, it may be believers, or it may be unbelievers. And the unbelieving world will look at you and how you respond to the trials and the sufferings that you experience. So let's give a worthy testimony of the grace of Jesus Christ. And when we face great times of adversity within our own fellowship of believers, make sure that you do not lash out in anger towards them. Well, at this point, I pray that this has already begun to help you in your development of patience in your life. Until next week, may the Lord be with you is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Lighthouse Radio Bible Study, an evangelistic ministry of the Primitive Baptist Churches of the Southeastern United States. We encourage you to attend one of these churches whenever possible. This radio ministry and its supporters are committed to the authority, the inerrancy, and the divine inspiration of God's holy word, to the Saviorhood of Jesus Christ, as well as to His Lordship, and that salvation is by God's grace alone. We hope this program has had a positive spiritual influence in your life. If it has, please write us and let us know. We encourage you to be with us next week at this same time. To find out more information about the Lighthouse, you can visit us at our website at www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. That's all one word and in all lowercase letters. Once again, that's www.lighthousebiblestudy.org. Please take a moment and visit us at our website. This program exists because evangelistically minded people like you contribute to it. If you would like to help us bring the light of Jesus Christ to a sin-darkened world, then write us at The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. Once again, that's The Lighthouse, P.O. Box 1317, Baxley, Georgia, 31515. We would love to hear from you. Until next week, this is Scott Reiner encouraging you to light your world.